Today, I will be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 29. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law," he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So if you were to ask God one question at this point in your life, what would it be? I wonder what significant question you are holding in your heart that you would like to ask God about. I've held a few significant questions for a long time in my life. When I was about 10 years old, I had a summer job picking strawberries. This was way before child labor laws came into effect, and we would get up early in the morning, walk over to our neighbor's yard, and we would pile into their station wagon to go to the strawberry fields. So in this 3-week season, we would pick as many strawberries as we could. Now, I was very industrious because I wanted to make as much money as I could to buy new school clothes. And I loved picking next to my neighbor friend who was a year younger than me and much less motivated about money. So she left me half of her row full of large strawberries so I could fill my bucket twice as fast as her. We were paid by the pound. Now we had great conversations together. We complained together. We had long lunch breaks together. We were often rewarded with ice cream at the end of the afternoon. I mean, it was mainly lots of fun. But this was also a time where I first encountered poverty. You know, I noticed workers in another field nearby. They were not school kids laughing or having berry fights with each other. They were different. It was parents and young kids and old people and strong men and teenagers working hard in this hot, hot sun. They were working before we got there, and they were working much longer after we finished. They spoke different languages. It was also found in the Jewish law. And love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus affirms the lawyer and responds, "You have answered correctly." Now, if we look at the two other gospel books, Matthew and Mark, we read that when Jesus encountered other lawyers, he himself quoted these two greatest commandments for his disciples to follow. So was this lawyer in the Gospel of Luke quoting Jesus in giving his answer? Well, that may be. Or it may be that Jesus was affirming what most Jews would have regarded as the greatest commandments from God. On these two laws, there is an agreement between Jesus and the lawyer. Love God, love your neighbor. However, in this story, the lawyer was testing Jesus. I was wanting to see if Jesus answered correctly according to Jewish law. So we get to the third question. This is where the lawyer tries to one-up Jesus. "And who exactly is my neighbor?" he asks. I mean, the lawyer wants a definition, an interpretation for neighbor. What exactly does neighbor include? How far does this stretch? Are there limits? Now, for the Jewish people, the common interpretation of neighborhood in practice included only those in their religious community. Neighbor refers to loving your fellow Jew, taking care of my people, protecting my tribe, which, if we think about, is our human tendency. We protect and help those who act and think like us, whether it's our family first, or our friends first, or our own religious community, or our own race or nation. We tend to do good things to those who are of our own kind, those who we feel comfortable with, who look and think like us. You know, in the berry fields growing up, the rich kids did not associate with the poor kids. Think of your friendship circles today. How diverse are they? This story in our scripture continues by Jesus telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, this parable was the second story that has come out of our Rivendell retreat in January as a story of resonance for us as a community in pursuing our living vision. And this story flows wonderfully well out of our John 15 text, where the last command by Jesus that we recently studied is similar to what the lawyer is asking about. Eugene Peterson names the root command in John 15, verse 17. We are to love one another. So we will be looking at different angles of this parable in the next month. And for this Sunday, we're just specifically looking at its context and the setup for the parable. Because the parable of the Good Samaritan has been so familiar and popularized that we may get lost in its poignant meaning. We can easily distill the story down to, oh, be a good citizen and help people. And if we look carefully, these three questions set up the purpose for this parable, telling and helping us to understand the fuller, radical meaning that Jesus was illustrating. But for this Sunday, we are left hanging with these significant questions to reflect on. The lawyer leaves us with his question, who is my neighbor? A significant question for all of us to ponder these days in our pandemic situation, where our actions affect our neighbors so tangibly. In our world today, where protests against racial acts of violence are filling the news and city streets, where reports of racism towards Asians are increasing, where economic disparity segregates the saved and the unsaved so explicitly in this virus. Who is my neighbor? Now, after the parable telling, Jesus concludes by asking the lawyer a fourth significant question. The final question that Jesus asked in response to the lawyer's question turns it all on its head. Jesus implies that the most significant question to be asking now, not is who is my neighbor, in order to know which ones to help and which ones not to help, in order to justify ourselves and make sure we're good enough to get into heaven. The question is rather about the fullness and intention of our hearts. The focus is more about who has been merciful. Am I behaving as one full of great mercy for all? The definition of neighbor is not about them, but about us. How are we being a good neighbor? What actions are we doing in answer to our significant questions? Well, the series in this next month is called The Art of Neighboring. Next week, we'll be having a guest speaker share stories about his reflections on how he interprets this parable to live out the art of neighboring in his Vancouver context. His name is Barry Young. And after that, Kelly DeCavenu, our own Kelly, will be sharing her experience and dreams of neighboring in her context and beyond. Then we will conclude with a final look at what it means for us in our particular calling and purpose here at Kits Community. So Jesus asks a significant question of us. How is God calling you to be a neighbor? You know, all of your simple and ordinary and courageous acts toward your neighbors are significant. All of your movements toward vulnerable conversation and breaking bread together with those who are not part of your friendship clique or tribe are significant. All attempts to stand up against racism and economic disparity are significant. These are the signs of the kingdom of God. These are actions of how we may live and flourish. These are the places that God's mercy can be embodied and realized among us through you. Now, I just received a letter of statement from the CBWC. Rob Ogilvy sent that out just late this week in response to what has been happening around the world. And I want to read a quote. He's put several quotes in this statement that we'll send out on Kits Matters, but there's one I wanted to pull out and show to you because it's all along the lines of what we've been talking about as a community. It's from a woman, Alicia, who is a Canadian missionary in Belize. And these are her words for us. So let's read it with open hearts. I don't know exactly what steps can be made to solving the racial divide, but I have a humble suggestion. Turn off the news, turn off social media. Sit for tea with a friend who has different skin color and tell stories and ask questions and be open and hearing and kind and inquisitive. Pull into a driveway and make a new friend. You might just find that your new friend who looks nothing like you has a heart for you, has dreams and hopes for your kids and their community, and has kindness to share. This has been my experience. Look for it. Intentionally create spaces for connection. So I know that a few of you have been reaching out for conversations with those in our community that you don't know very well or outside our community. There was that challenge set forth to have vulnerable conversations with people. And I want to just give opportunity for one or two of you to share your experiences, to share your stories. It can be a very simple story or experience that you had just as an attempt to have a vulnerable conversation, to reach out to our neighbors. So if you would like to share, if you're willing to share this morning, I invite you to raise your blue hand. So click on the participants and raise your blue hand and I'll have you share. So this was just to remind you, we spoke of having vulnerable conversations, just an attempt, or maybe even breaking bread together on your backyard or front yard with someone in our community that you felt God was nudging you to reach out to, and also someone outside our community, maybe a neighbor right next door in your work context, and to have an open conversation with them, find out how they are doing, reaching out to them in kindness and compassion. So I'll just wait for anyone who wants to share to raise your hand. Anyone willing to share this morning? Just take maybe one or two or three people to share with the community. It doesn't have to be a major thing happening. It can just be a simple story as to what were your attempts in these last few weeks of reaching out. And if you happen to be a co-host, you can just put the green yes, and I can spotlight you, because I don't think you can raise your hand. And for those on the phone, it's *9 if you want to raise your hand. Hey, Kelly, see that you raised your hand, so I'll spotlight on Kelly. There you are.
Hi. Just, I don't know if I mentioned before, but we have a group of neighbors here. As COVID started to loosen up some restrictions, we've kind of committed to Sunday night dinners together, so we separate. We got our three picnic tables. But we've also, and one of our commitments to one another is also to be open with our religious faith backgrounds and bring our whole selves to our relationships, not just, you know, put our religious stuff off the table. But one of our neighbors is Buddhist, and so we've been working through The Artist's Way together and getting into conversations about what are the differences between how Christians would approach this material, what are the differences between Buddhism's approach, because for her, something like anger is not perceived of positively, and you would rid yourself of that and try to approach the other with compassion, understanding that they're acting out of their own sort of human errors or whatever. But there's, for us as Christians, an element of righteous anger where you need to stand up for some of the injustices you see in the world. So we were just had a recent interesting conversation around that. And so really enjoying our opportunity to, on a weekly basis, have dinner with our neighbors of different faith backgrounds. And then one thing that I feel challenged to do, which I haven't acted on yet, is our neighbor right beside us is a Muslim family, but they kind of keep quite to themselves, especially during COVID, to the point where we didn't even realize she's pregnant until she came home with a baby in her little car seat. And we're like, oh my goodness, they've had a baby. And we didn't even notice or could see, because we rarely see her. And anyway, so one of the things I feel challenged to do is just to drop a little gift for their new infant on their doors.
Next week,
hopefully I report that I've done that, because they're a lovely family, and I want them to feel their new babies welcomed, especially in the midst of COVID.
Well, thank you, Kelly. That's great to hear what's going on in your neighborhood and your intentions and your conversations. And great to see you too, Jaya. Hello. Okay, I'm going to move to Lau. Hi, Lau. Let's see. Can you unmute yourself, Lau? Great.
Hello, Monica. It's quite amazing. Your challenge worked out well yesterday. Felicity and I had to go help at my son's place. He was working at one of the hospitals on call. And then I was in the garden with my granddaughter, and the neighbor, Caucasian, actually the mother-in-law, lives next door to my son. And I saw the neighbor say, hi, and I'm Lau. And he said, oh, I'm Andrew. So we got chatting, and I said, oh, I'm from South Africa. She said, oh, my sister is a professor in the University of Cape Town. And we got chatting about South Africa, and his son is in the same class as Justin, my grandson at the VCS. Jennifer Millie probably knows him. And got chatting about the school and about here and about a little bit about the riots and so on. I said, yeah, we suffered for 53 years before I emigrated. We also suffered racial discrimination and apartheid. And being a Christian just like that, it's a neighbor, and it's such a coincidence. He's got family in South Africa, and he's got a son at the same school as my son. So the Lord always blesses in such unexpected encounters.
Thank you, Lau. That's amazing to encounter those connections. Incredible. Really good. Thank you for sharing that conversation with us. Okay, I'm going to move to Sharon. There we are. And if you can unmute yourself, that'd be great. Hi, Olivia. Is that working?
Okay, hi.
Hello.
Yesterday I have this group chat with some friends I met at a convention for students who are thinking of going into the theater arts after school for a career. So I met a bunch of them at a convention, and they made a group chat on Instagram, and we're all really close friends, even though we only like met for a few days, but we're all really close. We all work together during the convention and everything. And it's made up of kids from all over BC, including some from my school and other schools. Anyway, so I texted the group chat, and I was like, hey, is anybody going to any of the protests? And my friend, who is African Canadian, said no, because it wouldn't be safe for me. And I didn't know what to say. I just stood there looking at my phone for about 20 minutes, just rereading the message that she had sent back. And I just texted them back, and I said, this absolutely breaks my heart. This is why I need to do something about this. And there are lots of, in the group chat, there are a lot of people of color, not just African Canadians, but Asians, people from everywhere. And I was just saying, as a white person who is not able to go to the protests because of COVID right now, and because of people in my family who have health risks, and just because it's not safe to do so sometimes right now, I was asking them how I can help, what I can do. And we just had a really open heart conversation, me and like 25 other people on this group chat, just talking about this and talking about what we can do as teenagers while we're still under restrictions of COVID, but still helping each other. And just like those of us who are Christian in the group were just mentioning, I'm praying for you guys, and the people who weren't are like, thank you so much, I really appreciate that. And just being able to connect and to show that we care, and that was really meaningful to me. And it was really inspiring.
Oh, well, hearing your story and your participation in it, Olivia, is very inspiring for us. Thank you for sharing, and blessings to you on your conversations and your continuing friendships with these theater folk. That's awesome. Bless you. All right. And now we have Malcolm wants to share. You can just unmute yourself, Malcolm. No, you can't. Okay.
There you are. I'm there. Yeah. So when Monica, when you issued the challenge, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I think there were two aspects of it. One was to reach out to someone in the church community and someone in a sort of a more neighbor kind of mode. So I decided who would I reach out to in the church community? And so I decided to reach out to Jeff, our very tall youth worker. Yes, I see you there, Jeff. And so we decided to go for a walk in Pacific Spirit Park. And, it was the first time that we have like been together and just really focused on having a conversation. I think we must have talked for about an hour or so. And it was really fantastic. Like it was really just an awesome kind of conversation, really getting to know Jeff and getting to know some of his perspectives and hear how he thinks about ministry and youth. And, you know, I like to think I'm a youth sometimes, and I'm definitely not. I'm definitely middle-aged. And so kind of really realizing some of the challenges around that. So that was one thing I did. And I really enjoyed doing that. The other question, which I always find a bit harder, is with neighbors. And I've struggled a little bit to connect with neighbors in our building. And a couple of things have happened just recently. I went for a walk with someone else in the building, and it's the first time we've ever gone for a walk. As you can see, going for walks is my major strategy nowadays. And so that was great. You know, we weren't really talking about deep spiritual matters or anything like that. Just kind of connecting on a human level and just getting to know each other. And we walked for about an hour. And so I'm kind of hopeful that that will lead to further relationship. And the other thing that happened last night is that I got a text message in the evening from someone in the building who I've had a little bit to do with. And she was sending an SOS because they'd locked themselves out. And it was just really nice to have that, just have a point of connection, like to say, oh, great, yeah, I'll be down straight away with a key. So that's just another little thing. So no huge drama there, but just small steps in a certain direction.
Thank you. Thank you, Malk, for sharing that. I mean, it is in these simple, I don't know how to get to take the spotlight off you. I'll let Troy do that. It is in these simple, ordinary things. And I know many of you have varying degrees of relationship with your neighbors and those outside of the community and also in our community too. But this is these vulnerable conversations are just a step, and it could be start something very simple and it could lead to something else. But just expanding our mind to who do we normally hang out and are attracted to, and where is God nudging us to move out of our comfort zones in expressing God's welcome and God's mercy for all. So thank you so much for those of you who are sharing and for those of you who are having conversations and breaking bread in our community and outside our community. Encourage us all in this. We're all learning in this, on a learning journey. So let's end this time by a prayer. David will share this prayer with us, just to recollect ourselves. And I'll await for my prayer response assistant to come. Here he is. All right. Let's pray together. God of love, thank you for your desire to move in us,
to gather us into yourself.
Thank you that your arms are open.
Your door is flung wide. Your table is abundant.
Forgive us
when we neglect you in friend and stranger.
When we do not welcome interruptions or invite others to our table.
When we keep for ourselves the gifts you have given.
May we receive you and be moved by you.
We long to feast from the abundance of your grace.
We long to enter into the fullness of your kingdom. Amen. So may we who have been filled and receive mercy be merciful to all. Go this week in the name of God, our Creator, whose strength empowers us. In the name of Christ, our Redeemer, whose love transforms us. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, whose presence guides us. Amen.